Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We bless the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time that your word is about to come forth. May we be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I've been sharing with you about knowing the word of God for ourselves. This is the third week I've stayed on this subject. And what it means really is that I'm continuing talking about this all important subject, knowing the word of God for ourselves. Hallelujah. Let's look at our foundational scriptures. The first one is from Acts chapter 17. And reading from verse 11 to 12. Acts 17, verse 11 to 12. The Bible says, "And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men." Now, our second scripture is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And I prefer to read from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved." That means tested by trial. "A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing." That means rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Thanks be to God. All right. Now, today, I stumbled upon a quote by a certain bishop. His name, Bishop John Charles Ryle. Bishop John Charles Ryle. Now, this bishop was an English evangelical Anglican bishop. And he was the first bishop of Liverpool. This is in the 17th century or so. Now, he was a powerful writer, a pastor, and an evangelical preacher. Now, he's somebody who wrote a lot of books. He wrote a lot of powerful books. And is that him? You found him? All right. So you can see that he's not a modern day preacher. He's somebody who has been working with the Lord for many, many years. Now, there's something he wrote in relation to Christians knowing the scriptures for themselves. And this is what he said, and I quote. And I want you to listen carefully. He says, "Never think that it is humility to have no opinion of your own. That it is the part of a true Christian not to think for himself." What he's saying here is that there are some who feel that, you know, as a Christian, one of the signs that you are humble is that you don't have an opinion about anything. It's like everything that you are told, you just flow with it. That's how some people, that's what they think. And it's like, if you're a true Christian, you don't think for yourself. He continues and tells and says this, I tell you that such humility is a false humility, a humility which does not deserve that blessed name. I mean, that blessed name, humility. That this thing that people feel is humility is not humility at all. And nobody should equate it to humility. He continues, call it rather laziness. Call it rather idleness. Call it rather sloth. Sloth is another way of saying lazy. He says it makes a man strip himself of all his responsibility. And this is what I want you to take note of. And throw the whole burden of his soul into the hands of the minister and the church. I'll repeat that. And throw the whole burden of his soul into the hands of the minister and the church. So he's explaining that there's a certain way of existing as a Christian that is dangerous, because you are putting away your personal responsibility and everything to do with yourself, with your soul, with your salvation, with your prosperity, with your well-being, with your health. You are placing it or entrusting it to your pastor, and you are entrusting it to the church. He concludes and says, reader, as long as you live, resolve that you will read for yourself. That means you read the Bible for yourself. Then you will think for yourself. You will judge the Bible for yourself in the great matters of your soul. And I want to emphasize again this part where he says, do not throw the whole burden of your soul into the hands of any minister or pastor or church. Don't make that mistake of putting away your personal responsibility for yourself and thinking for yourself, judging for yourself, knowing the word of God for yourself. Don't put that thing away. Don't just place it in the hands of your pastor or in the control of the church. Because if you do that, you'll be making a grave error. It's a very powerful statement. And I don't watch Ghanaian television much. I don't. Because there are not too many interesting things there. If you find me there, maybe I may be catching up on news or something. But one of the reasons why I don't like it, well, I don't have time. But the other reason is that when I tune in to a lot of these local television stations, I see things, too many things that disturb my soul. If you check, you will realize that most of the TV stations that we have locally have a lot of preaching. You have a lot of pastors, all kinds of pastors from all kinds of backgrounds. And many of the things that I hear sadden, they sadden me. And they cause me to worry and be alarmed. Especially when I hear people, pastors, preachers, saying certain things, and then the congregation that are listening to them are just swallowing everything. Their hands are lifted up and they are clapping. And I know that what this guy is saying is not true. And what this person is teaching is not the correct word of God. But in some instances, you will see hundreds of people, thousands of people, swallowing everything that is being said. And it is obvious that there's a problem. And the problem is that they don't know the scriptures for themselves. Part of the problem is that they don't know God for themselves. And the other aspect of the problem is they don't know the word of God for themselves. That is why certain things can be preached to them and they are happily receiving. Sometimes I see as these pastors and prophets are selling things to the people, making all sorts of claims. This is the blood of Jesus. Come and buy this wristband. Come and buy this mantle. This water is holy water. It's not ordinary water. And it goes on and on and on. And the people are just there. And they cannot see that these pastors are making merchandise of the gospel. And I heard a preacher man saying that, now, we don't talk about our faith and our trust in Jesus anymore, but our confidence is in our so-called man of God or woman of God. So anytime we talk, the name that we keep mentioning is the pastor, your man of God. So much so that many Christians, when they say they are doing outreach and evangelism, the focus is not on Christ. They are heralding their pastor and their church. And they tell the people that if you come to my church, all your problems will be solved. When the one who said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, is Christ Jesus. And there are many Christians today, they know the sayings of their pastor more than they know the scriptures and the sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the truth is that his words are superior to the words of anybody else. That is why if you have a good Bible, you will see that the words of Jesus are captured in red letter or red ink to distinguish between what he says and what anybody else says. So you see all sorts of things going on and all kinds of errors being taught. And the average Christian does not even see that what is being said is not biblical, it's not in line with the word of God. And it's a very dangerous thing. That's why it worries me. And the average Christian doesn't realize that, not knowing that what is happening, all these things that are taught, that they are just swallowing hook, line, and sinker, they don't realize that it is placing them in bondage. They are being manipulated and exploited. They are being deceived. They are playing right into the hands of the devil. They don't realize that the true blessings that are theirs, they are being robbed of those blessings through some of these erroneous teachings and doctrines that come from the pulpit. But what can save us from this? How can we deliver ourselves? The answer is very simple. Number one, we must know God for ourselves. And number two, we must know the word of God for ourselves. There was some time in the history of the church where the word of God, the Bible, was kept away from the ordinary church member. In those days, the Bibles were written in Latin. And it was not the language, the ordinary language of the people. So then the priests were the ones who had access to the Holy Scriptures. So for the ordinary person to hear the word of God, it must be read to him by the priest and interpreted to him by the priest. This was what it was. And those were like the dark ages of the church. All kinds of things were being done. Thank God for Martin Luther and all these other people who championed the Reformation. and who insisted that the Bible, the Word of God, must be made accessible to every Christian and to every believer. And today, by the grace of God, we have the Bible. But it is almost as if we don't have it. And there's like very little difference between the modern Christian who has access to the Bible and the Christian many hundreds of years ago who did not have access to the Bible. There's very little difference, because it's not changing anything much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are dealing with something very serious. And I'm sharing this with you, this message with you, to stir up something in you and to bring you to a certain place in your life where you will not be satisfied with anything less than knowing the Word of God for yourself. Hallelujah. And last week I shared with you what it really means to know the Word of God for ourselves. Number one, I said it means that what we know of the Word of God, which is the Scriptures, is not just based on what any man or woman of God has said or taught, but it is based on what we have discovered ourselves through a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's Word. To wit, when you say that you know the Word of God for yourself, it means that what you know of the Word of God is not just based on what your pastor said. Because there's too much of that in there. My pastor said. Why aren't you saying that God said? So when you know the Word of God for yourself, it means that it is based on what you have discovered for yourself. And how did you do that discovery? Through a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's Word. That's what it means to know the Word of God for ourselves. What does it mean to know the Word of God for ourselves? It means that we do not just accept anything being preached or taught by anybody. You don't just accept it. But your behavior is like the believers in Berea who heard Paul, who heard Silas. They listened to them attentively, but they did not just take anything they were saying because of their reputation as powerful leaders and missionaries and apostles in the church. Rather, what these believers in Berea did, which was distinct from what the believers in Thessalonica did, was that they will hear, but then they will go back and day after day will search through the Scriptures. Whatever it is Paul and Silas said to them, they checked the Scriptures carefully day by day to find out if what they had been taught was actually the truth. And that is the place that God wants all of us to get to become like the Berean Christian. Tell the person sitting by you, become like a Berean Christian. Oh, say it very clearly to the person. Say it again. Hallelujah. Then the third thing it means when we say knowing the Word of God for ourselves, it means that we have a direct access to God through personal study of His Word without having to fall on any intermediaries. Sometimes believers are made to feel that you cannot have a certain access to God, that without your pastor, it's like your pastor, your man of God, your woman of God, your bishop, your prophet has exclusive rights to God. And so you can't have access to God. And to reach God, you need Him. I told you last week that our pastors are important. And it is true. We need them. We need our pastors. We need our prophets. We need our teachers. We need our evangelists. We need our apostles. We need them. There's a reason why God has raised them up and given them to us. But it was never God's intention that they should have such a place in our lives that we will never develop our personal relationship with God. That's not how God intended things to be. But unfortunately, some of these ministers of the gospel, they operate in such a way that you are totally dependent on them. Thank God for counsel and advice. But there is a place where it can become manipulation and even witchcraft. Because it's like, there is nothing that you can do in this life without your pastor. Every step that you take, every move that you make, you don't seek God's face for yourself. Instead of seeking God's face, you go for consultation. You go for dilation. You go for apaintre. So wife, you don't listen to your husband. You don't listen to anything that he says. The one who is controlling your home and your marriage is your pastor. Because you are very submissive to him. When we talk about submission, it is towards your pastor. It is not towards your husband. Did you see it written there? Submit yourselves unto your pastor as unto the Lord. Yes, you're supposed to submit unto your pastor. The Bible says that we should submit ourselves to those who have authority over us. Even you're supposed to be submit to, you're supposed to submit to your assemblyman and unit committee chairman. Any person in a leadership position, there's a certain level of submission that you're supposed to show towards them. But get this right. There is a point that you can get to when now you are operating in error. And the error is that there is nothing that you can do without the involvement and the input of this so-called man of God or woman of God of your life. One day I lost a church member and it pained me brutal. Because I felt that her death was totally unnecessary. This was somebody that one day I went to visit. And as we were talking, I found out that she was on a certain medication. Medication to regulate her blood pressure. Then in the course of the conversation, she said to me that, I want to stop it. I don't want to take the medicine anymore. And I told her, don't stop it. I said, the only person who should ask you to go off the medication should be your doctor. And he will never ask you to go off the medication unless he has run the relevant checks to be sure that you are okay and you don't need it any longer. And I told her, if it means you have to be on this medication for the rest of your life so that you can be preserved, so be it. Later on, I found out to my sorrow that she went off it. Now, why did she go off her medication? Because she had a prophetess in her life, Dr. Prophetess, who told her that she doesn't need to take any medication. Yeah. It's like God has healed you. I'm not an unbeliever. I believe in God. I believe in the power of God to heal us. But one of the things I know very clearly, that sometimes God uses medical science to take care of us. And he's not against it. Every development that has been made in the area of medicine, it is God who gave the wisdom, God who gave the knowledge, God who gave the understanding. Because all the treasures of knowledge, of wisdom and understanding, they rest in Christ Jesus. Without God allowing it and revealing these things, there's no way any of these things that they invent will be able to work. To cut a long story short, she died. And she died very young. And it really pained me. I have one other church member that he doesn't come to church any longer. He doesn't come to church any longer because he's having some health issues. And some prophet has told him that It's spiritual. So he doesn't want to take any medication. Now, I remember visiting him on a few occasions and pointing out to him that at this your age, there are some things that you should be doing. You can't just be there and not take good care of yourself and say that every health challenge that you're going through is spiritual. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? And you see, when you hear a pastor talking like that, it's very easy to say, "Onye spiritual, mimum, inye spiritual." That I'm an unbeliever. I don't have faith. Really? So, I've seen things, and I've had some of these experiences, and I can see that there's a lot of harm that is being caused, you know, by these pastors and ministers of the gospel who have made themselves intermediaries. And it's like without them, people cannot do anything, cannot function well, cannot function normally. There are some wives, if your pastor says, "Don't sleep with your husband again," you will not. You won't. So then there's a lot of manipulation and controlling going on. So when you know the word of God for yourself, what it means is that you have direct access to God and to his word through personal. There's a place for corporate study of the word of God. There's a place for that. There's a place for church service and gathering like this and having me preach and minister the word of God to you. There's a place for it. There's a place for Bible classes where we come together and go through the scriptures. There's a place for it. There's a place for cell meetings where we meet in homes, assembly meetings, where we discuss the word of God. There's a place for it. But none of these things I've mentioned should ever take the place of your personal study of the Bible. And when we say you know God for yourself, it means that you have a direct access to God through personal study of his word without falling on any intermediaries. Number four, knowing the word of God for ourselves means that we are growing and maturing in the Lord. We are doing what? Growing and maturing in the Lord. Ask the person sitting by you, "Charlie, are you growing? Are you maturing?" Now interrogate the person. I say, "How long have you been a Christian?" Then ask the person to quote three scriptures. One from John, one from Romans, and one from Revelation. People are just hiding. It means we are growing and maturing in the Lord. And actually, when you really know the word of God for yourself in a certain way, and it is not just head knowledge, but it is practical knowledge and understanding of God's word, there's a way it causes you to mature in the Lord. There's a way. There's a way. Then the fifth thing it means, when we say knowing the word of God for ourselves, it means that we can tell when whatever is being taught or preached is not sound doctrine. You can always tell. When you know God for yourself, when somebody is preaching anything and it is not correct, it's not sound doctrine, you will know. Then those of you who go to church and everything, they say, "Receive." You say, "I receive." Everything, receive, receive. Before you realize, you are receiving something that you actually didn't want to receive. When you know God for yourself, you get to a place where whatever is being taught or preached, when it's not sound doctrine, you can tell. Why? Because you are able to do critical thinking and analysis for yourself. Don't send your mind on a long sabbatical leave. Because there's a reason why God gave you your mind. And there's a reason why God gave you your brain. and you are supposed to use it. Do not stop thinking. Do not stop analyzing. No. So learn to think. When you hear something, think about it, analyze it, using the sound doctrine, the sound scriptures, to analyze what you are hearing. Can I have an amen? What are the dangers of not knowing God's word for ourselves? It's dangerous. But what are the dangers that you are likely to face when you don't know God's word for yourself? Number one, when we do not know the word of God for ourselves, we will be ashamed one day. Ashamed before God and ashamed before men. When we do not know the word of God for ourselves, we will be ashamed one day before God and before men. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 from the Amplified Version. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. Then it continues, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed. Did you see that? A workman who has no cause to be ashamed. How can you be a workman who has no cause to be ashamed? It is by correctly analyzing and accurately dividing the word of truth. To simplify it, when you know God's word, you've studied it, you've analyzed it, you are accurately interpreting it, and you are into God's word, what happens is that you become approved by God and you don't have any reason to be ashamed. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some of us who God will not be happy with us when we stand before him and when he's taking stock of us. Because every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. And one of the things that will come up is in relation to his word. You'll be surprised. Where you will now have cause to be ashamed as you stand before God, because you did not elevate his word in your life the way you needed to. You were not into his word. So you'll not be approved before him. That's what it says here. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed. He said, do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. Present yourself to God so that he will approve of you. And you become somebody who has no reason to be ashamed. Why is it that you won't have any cause to be ashamed? Because you were somebody who analyzed and accurately divided the word of truth. You were into the word. And because of that, when you stand before him, there'll be no cause for shame. It's like in the university. Maybe you're in your final year and you're supposed to go and defend your project. Now, if you've done your project work well and you did it yourself, or even when it was done for you, you studied it for yourself. When you stand before the examiners, when you stand before the panel, you will not have any cause to be ashamed. Because you know the thing. Because of late. I mean, you can even get artificial intelligence to do your project work for you. Then you too, a yetono, as the thing has been done for you, you have not taken time to understand what has been done for you. Here you are, you've gone to defend the project. And I want to papa so. Is he go, is he come? You will have cause to be ashamed. And it will be clear that you did not do the project work yourself. That's what it will be like. When we stand before God and he will look with disapproval at us. Because we were not into him. Because God has elevated his word to a certain place. In fact, Christ Jesus is described as the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Knowing God's word is related to knowing Christ. That's what it is. Knowing God's word is strongly connected to knowing Christ. So what it means is that if you don't know his word, and if you are not into his word, you are not into him. It's as simple as that. Because it is his word that reveals him. How can you know him, therefore, outside his word? How can you know him when you are not into his word yourself? That's when you will be ashamed when you stand before God. And then sometimes as Christian workers, there are times when we are ashamed because we don't really know God's word for ourselves. Can you remember the times that you went to do soul winning and you met somebody who dazzled you with some question B, and then you couldn't answer? You couldn't answer. Or you've not met people like that before. Sometimes it's a Muslim, and he seems to know the word of God, the Bible, more than you know it. By the time you finish this whole evangelism expedition, you are ashamed. And now you are even thinking of converting, because the guy has confused you fully. The next time I will hear of you, you have gone to Tuba. You are ashamed because you don't know it. You don't know the word of God for yourself. So one of the dangers of not knowing God's word for yourself is that you will end up being ashamed before God and ashamed before men. Hallelujah. Number two, the second danger of not knowing God's word for ourselves. When we do not know the word of God for ourselves, we will wrongly handle and teach God's word. We will wrongly handle and teach God's word. When you don't know the word of God for yourself, you wrongly handle it and you will wrongly teach it, and you end up confusing a lot of people. Has somebody confused you before? Hey, as you listen to the person talking, then you feel like asking the person, Masa Tobo, Nyawokano, and Tasum, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand it. You know? And in the same scripture we looked at, it talks about correctly analyzing and accurately dividing. That means rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. When you don't know God's word for yourself, you don't handle it rightly, and you can't teach it skillfully, and you can't divide it accurately, and it is a problem. It is a problem. As a Christian, as somebody who calls yourself a Christian, a witness for Christ, somebody who is standing for Christ and talking for him, that's who a witness is. Now, if there is a court case, you know, one of the things that is done when the case is being tried or heard is they call for witnesses. And the outcome of the case often depends on the witness and what he or she has to say. There are cases that are lost because the witness did not have credibility. And the serious thing about it is that just because the witness couldn't talk in a certain way, even though you have not done anything wrong, you end up being declared guilty and jailed. There are people who are in prison today because they didn't have good witnesses. And they could have been saved. They could have been acquitted and discharged if only the one who was in the witness box talking for them was credible or could talk in a certain way. And ladies and gentlemen, when we do not handle the word of God correctly, we create problems. And you can even drive people away from Christ because of the sort of things that you are teaching, because of the sort of things that you are saying. So one of the dangers of not knowing God's word for ourselves is that we wrongly handle it and we wrongly teach it, and it creates a lot of problems. Number three, when we do not know the word of God for ourselves, Satan will have an advantage over us. When we do not know the word of God for ourselves, Satan will have an advantage over us. Hallelujah. When we do not know the word of God for ourselves, Satan will have an advantage over us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. it says, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Give me the King James Version. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, one of the ways that the devil can get an advantage over us is when we don't know the word of God for ourselves. Do you remember the temptation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Have you read about it in your Bible before? Let me show you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. So, here, Jesus Christ, after he had been baptized by John, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. And after the fasting period, he was hungry. Then the devil appeared to him. So it says, verse 1, Matthew 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, so now the devil appears, and this is what he said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread, butter bread, sugar bread, cake bread from hot oven. If you haven't eaten hot oven bread before, try it. It's very nice. So the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But how did Jesus sort him out? But Jesus told him, no. Then what did he do next? He quoted the scriptures. He said, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You find this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That's where it was quoted. Jesus knew the scriptures and he used it to defeat the devil. It continues, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Then now the devil started to quote the scriptures. Because he realized that the thing, is like this battle, it has to be fought at the level of scriptures. And the only way I can get this guy is through the scriptures. So he calls the scriptures. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. He quoted from Psalm 91 verse 11 to 13. Oh, he quoted the scriptures correctly. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil knows his Bible. How dare you that you don't know? The word of God that you are supposed to know for yourself that you don't know, your arch enemy, he knows. It's serious, isn't it so? But you see, Jesus knew the scriptures. Jesus responded. The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6:16. So he quoted and Jesus quoted. Let me tell you something. How do I even put this? You can actually use the Bible to support anything that you want to do, whether good or bad. You can. It's just by twisting the scriptures to say what it is not saying. Or sometimes you say what the scripture is saying, but it is wrongly handled, is wrongly analyzed, is wrongly interpreted. And that's what a lot of people do. And sometimes that is what we, the pastors, that's what we end up doing. Because what happens is that there is something we want to say by all means. So we must find the scripture to give credence to what we are saying. So we take the scriptures and interpret it in a certain way. The only way that you can get away from it and not end up being deceived is if you know the scriptures for yourself. There's something called interpreting the scriptures. Correct interpretation of the scriptures. You must know the word of God for yourself and be able to interpret and rightly divide the word of truth. So here, the devil quoted and Jesus also quoted. Then next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. This time he didn't quote. He said, I'll give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Go out, Satan, Jesus said. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says, then the devil went away. He ran away. As he was going, maybe Jesus was, shame. H-A-P-P-Y, shame. He defeated him using what? The scriptures. And because he knew the scriptures, the devil could not have a certain advantage over him. And one of the ways, clear ways, one of the major ways that the devil uses to get us and to defeat us is to make us question what God has said. That's how he got Eve. And Eve, for some reason, was confused and didn't really understand what God had said. So the devil came to her and said, has God said that you should not eat of any tree, of the fruits of any tree in the garden? Her answer was that God said we can eat of the tree. We can eat of the fruits of any tree in the garden, except for the tree in the middle of the garden. That's how she described it. The tree in the middle of the garden. I thought she would have said that he said we should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She just described it as a tree in the middle of the garden. So the devil got her by raising questions about God, God's intention, about his word. Because that's what he said. Has God said? Has God said? Raising questions about God's word. And if we don't want the devil to get or to have an advantage over us, we must really be into the word of God. And we must know the word of God for ourselves. Because he will always try to use the word to defeat you. Remember what I said, he knows the Bible. So you had better know the word of God for yourself. And you must know how to rightly interpret the scriptures for yourself. Hallelujah. Our time is up. We're going to continue next week. But you know, I'm your pastor by the grace of God. And it's a position that I greatly respect. But I know that it comes with a lot of responsibility. One of my major responsibilities is to always point you to God and to direct you to God. Never to myself. Because I'm a man. I have flaws. I have weaknesses. I have shortcomings. I have failures. And so do all men of God. Don't be deceived when they stand here and they paint a picture of themselves as holiness or perfection personified. Don't be deceived by it. We are men. We have limitations. We have flaws. But there's a certain grace that we carry that enables us to do what we do and to stand in this privileged position. It is God who has put me in such a position, and it's by his grace. But I understand that I have a responsibility by you to teach you the word of God and to direct you to God and to share the things that will deepen your relationship with God, so that at the end of the day, when you stand before him, you cannot say that I, Johnny, I didn't teach you anything, or I never directed you to God. You can never say that I directed you to myself. Never. By the grace of God, never. So messages like this are to draw you closer to God. And it's my prayer that we will embrace it And don't just embrace it because I said so. But as I've been trying to get you to do, be like the Berean Christians who went back, checked the scriptures to find out whether what was said was really the case. I pray that God will bring us to that place where we will really know Him and we will really know His word for ourselves. Because it will fill me with such pride and happiness, knowing that I've been able to fulfill my mansion and my mission and my mandate, and I've drawn you closer to God. By the grace of God, we will get there. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We're so blessed to have received your word and to hear what your spirit is saying to us. The bottom line is that you want us to know you and to know your word for ourselves. Once again, Holy Spirit, we are counting on you, depending on you, looking to you. There's a reason why you've been given to us. You are our helper, the one who's been called to our side to aid us. Spirit of God, help us. The truth with some of us is that there's a certain yearning that we don't really have for God and the things of God, for the word of God. But Holy Spirit, you can actually work on us and change something inside of us. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bring us to that place in our Christian experience where the word of God is highly elevated in our lives, where we would always desire to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, and allow it to guide and direct our path, knowing that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Father, for everyone who came here tonight. Thank you for everyone who joined in this service, wherever they are. May your hand of blessing rest on all of us, in Jesus' mighty name. And all shall say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.